So turn with me then to 1 Thessalonians and chapter 3 on page 1049 of the Church Bible. So saying goodbye isn't always easy, especially if it's someone you love. Recently, Henry and I have been watching a documentary series called The World at War. And in the last one, I think it was, or the one before that, it recorded the events around the evacuation of children from the coastline of the country into rural areas because of the danger with the Blitz and with bombing and everything else within the Second World War. And you can see the black and white footage of children being put on the train with their name around them, with an older sibling. And as they were taken, and as they were given over to what would be a stranger, somebody completely unknown to them. And would they see the child again? Would the child see their parent again? The parent's not there to protect them from danger. The parent isn't there to look into the eyes of their children. The parent has been everything to them. And yet there's been a forced separation because of circumstances. Well, what we have here in Thessalonians is a forced separation between Paul and his spiritual children. Between those whom he has preached the gospel to, those who have been born again, those who have been brought to life in Christ. And he's loved them and he's nurtured them and he's been like a father to them. And he's given of himself to them day after day, week after week, teaching the word of God to them, longing for them, exhorting them, charging them as a father does his own children that they would have a walk worthy of the Lord who's called them into his kingdom and glory. But now he's had to go. He's had to be separated from them. There's been a painful parting between Paul and the church for his own safety. For the safety of the church. And it would have been easy for the church to say, well, after the weeks go by, well, has Paul forgotten us? Is Paul the father figure in the faith whose overwhelming affection and love for us as a church? Is it still there? Is he still on our mind? Are we still on his mind and in his heart? So Paul writes them a letter. To assure them, to comfort them, to encourage them. And he says in verse 17 of chapter 2, but we brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time, in presence, not in heart, endeavoured more eagerly to see your face with great desire. Yes, there is a resounding yes to the heart of Paul towards this church. Towards these spiritual children, even though there's been this forced separation. And what does he want to do? He wants to encourage them. He wants to see them going on with God just as they were when he was with them. He wants to see their faces. He wants to hear their prayers. He wants to be with them in worship. He wants to see them grow in usefulness and service for God. He doesn't want the persecution and the devil's temptations to swamp them, to overwhelm them, to steer them away from God. No, he wants to see them strong and going on with him as a father, with his children. He can't go and see them. It's not possible. He can't visit them. So he sends somebody else. He sends Timothy. He sends his emissary to go and see them, to see how they're getting on. And chapter 3 verse 1 tells us, therefore when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God or servant of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ to establish you and to encourage you. You see, love finds a way of encouraging. Love finds a way of building up. Love finds a way. And Paul sent Timothy because he couldn't go himself on this mission. And there's a number of things I want us to learn from chapter 3. And the title of the message this morning is this: How to Encourage Others. How to Encourage Others. It's not going to be exhaustive on that subject today. We're going to dip our toe in the water, as it were. There's lots to say. But how to encourage others. Because Paul had a great desire that this church would be encouraged and blessed. How to encourage others. There are three things I want us to see. The first is character. Character. The second is the commission. Thirdly, circumstances. So if we're going to be people who encourage others, or those who grow in this way of encouraging others, what can we learn about it from this chapter? Firstly, character. An encourager is someone who's having their character made more like Jesus, made more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Whose character is in focus here? Well, in the background, we see Paul and his heart. But in the foreground, we see Timothy. Timothy's character is in view here. So where did Paul meet Timothy? Well, he met him on one of his missionary journeys. Paul had him circumcised after he came to faith. Paul took him under his wing. Paul encouraged him. Paul nurtured Timothy in God's ways. He was his protege. He speaks of Timothy as his son in the faith. He speaks very highly of Timothy. We know that Timothy was a timid character. Timothy had his weaknesses. Timothy had his flaws, just like all of us are flawed characters. Yet Timothy had character. Look at verse 2. It says, he is a brother, a minister of God, fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. These were the things that Timothy did in his life. These were the practices and the behaviors that he had. This was the outworking of Timothy's heart. But Paul speaks particularly about Timothy's character in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19 to 22. And it's really important. I just want to read this out because this just gives us the background to Timothy as to why he was chosen to go and encourage the church. It says this in Philippians 2. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly. Paul's sending him to Philippi as well. It's a common theme here, isn't it? So that I may be encouraged to know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character. You know his proven character. That as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. So yes, Paul's talking about his gifts and what he's done. He's serving with him in the gospel. But you know his proven character. Proven character. We don't read of Timothy's eloquence, of his organizational skills. We read of his character, of his heart, of his longing, of his devoted service to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the attributes. These are the things that are exhibited in his life that Paul is speaking of. This is why he was using him to encourage the church at Philippi and at the Thessalonians. But Paul didn't just say, well, okay, they've got 10 people here, I'll pick Timothy. Paul had seen Timothy faithful in small things. And when he'd been faithful in small things, he'd been given bigger things to do. And then bigger things to do. And then bigger things to do. But it wasn't always just the things that he did. What is described here in Philippians 2 is the sincere care for people. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Jesus Christ, of Christ Jesus. See, there was an affection here. There was a out of his character, there was love and desire. There was the heart of Jesus Christ was seen in the heart of Timothy. So if we're going to encourage one another more and more, we need to see within ourselves and to see amongst us more and more of the heart of the man, Timothy. More and more of this sincere care. More and more of this not seeking our own, but those things which are of Jesus Christ, the proving character, the service in the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. Character is so important, isn't it? Character is something that stands out here in Philippians in the life of Timothy. And it's the reason why Paul sent Timothy to encourage the Thessalonians. And it reminds us, doesn't it, that in the life of the church throughout the centuries, character has been the thing that has been identified as probably the most important within the church. Wasn't it Robert Murray McShane? He said, it's not great gifts that God blesses, but likeness to Christ. I remember the saying somebody said a while ago, the life of the minister is the life of his ministry. And you can think about it for all of us. We can apply it to our own lives. The life of the servant is the life of his service. And the service that we have unto the Lord Jesus Christ within the church, the life of our hearts, the life within us, our faith and our character will show itself in the life with which we give ourselves to that service. The life that we have in that service flows out of the heart. It flows out of our characters. So many of us have an avenue of service in the church. And what a challenge it is to say, is that avenue of service, what is the life of it today? Is it growing? Is it flourishing in life? In enthusiasm, in desire? Or is it decaying? Is it deteriorating? How is our life of service? Our life of service says something about our life. Our Christian joy, our Christian vitality, our character. Character is so important if we're going to be encouragers like Timothy, be more like Jesus' character. And every Christian is on a training plan. We're somewhere in God's training plan. You may say, we see our character flaws, don't we? We see them in our lives. If you want to know what a man's character's like, who do you ask? If he's married. There's a clue in that. Yeah, ask his wife. Or ask the children. Ask the children. It is very, very sobering to be married and to have a family. It's very sobering. Because you see the weakness of your character. You see how at times we cannot seek the things that are of Jesus Christ, but we can seek our own things. And it's sad, and there needs to be the Holy Spirit working to give repentance and a turning away of sin and the focus again upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's a reality check, isn't it? We need to take a reality check on our lives. But thank God, sanctification is a training plan, is a process, there is progress. There is change. By the Spirit, through the Word of God, through service in the church, through our lives in the world. Just like there was in Timothy's life. There is hope for all of us in sanctification. There's hope for all of us in growing more and more like Jesus. God hasn't given up on us. You might feel depressed this morning. You might feel as though God can't use me. I've got this and I've got that. And I can't do this or that. God can overcome these things. He can work by His Spirit to change us. But we must give ourselves to Him. And His Word and His ways. Yield ourselves to Him. To the fear of the Lord. So firstly, character. This man, Timothy, What was he doing? He was faithful in his service for God. He was a brother. He was a part of the family. He was a servant of God, a fellow laborer. He wasn't half-hearted, was he? He gave himself to the work of the Lord. So if we're going to encourage others, firstly, we need to be growing in character, or people of character, who show in our lives a pattern of faithfulness. Secondly, a commission. So, commission, it's for all of us. Chapter 3, verse 2, and to send Timothy to you. Verse 5, for this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means a tempter may have tempted you and our labor may be in vain. So Timothy's given a special commission. But you and I, we're not given a special commission necessarily by the church to encourage one another. Does that mean we shouldn't do it? No, not at all. Turn to chapter 5 and verse 11. It says this. And Paul's been speaking there about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, therefore, comfort or encourage, it says in the margin of the New King James, each other and edify one another, just as you are doing. So there are some that are set apart for the ministry of encouragement, but it's for all of us within the church. It's something that God wants us all to be engaged in and all to do, for every believer, for every Christian, to be an encourager, to comfort and to encourage one another. It's a commission for every Christian. Well, how is Timothy to do this? What are we to do in this commission, in this service? Well, it says there in verse 2, doesn't it? To establish you and encourage you concerning your faith. So he's going to go and to encourage and to nurture and to build up these believers in the faith. Their faith has to be strengthened. Their faith has to be bolstered. It has to be secured and protected and nurtured. And in the ministry of encouraging one another, we need to encourage each other in the faith, to grow in faith, to be steadfast in faith. Faith is that key grace from God. Faith is a gift from God. It's a gift, a grace of the Holy Spirit. And it is so important that we grow in faith. If you use the internet and you want to go on to look at the news, or you want to go onto a website or whatever, what is important? What is it that will determine the speed at which the web page will come up? What is it that will determine the speed of the search engine that you are using? What is it that will do that? It's the bandwidth, isn't it? If it's really small, it takes ages to load up the page. Circles going around, you're waiting, you're looking at your watch. It's frustrating. But if it's big, it's instant, it's strong, it works. And the graces in our lives, the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, will grow more and more as our faith grows. Faith is like the bandwidth of our spiritual lives. According to your faith, be it unto you, Jesus said. Lord, increase our faith. Which of us doesn't pray that from time to time? Paul sent Timothy to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, to expand your faith, to deepen you in the faith, to enliven you in faith. And he sent this letter. And as we read the letter, we see how these are faith-grounding, faith-building truths that he brings to them. Because he talks in verse 4 about election. to know that those people in the church, the genuine, sincere believers, were chosen before the foundation of the world. They were in the heart of God. Their names are written in his hands. To know that God's love had been set upon them from all eternity. That God had called them to faith in Jesus Christ. What an amazing thing. What a strengthening thing. It's not because of them that they've come to faith in Christ, but because God has chosen them. What stability it gives to us when we grasp that. How our faith is strengthened, how our eyes are opened to the love and the glory of God, God's kingship and his sovereignty. The gospel did not come to you in word only, but in power, in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance. And Timothy would go and encourage them. He would tell them about Paul's trials and how God has delivered him, about Paul's sustaining position as God has helped him in his discipleship for him. The truths of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, how we'll be changed and transformed into the likeness of Christ. At the end of every chapter in 1 Thessalonians, the return of Christ is mentioned again and again and again. Why? Because it's a faith building, it's an establishing and encouraging truth for them. He brings it to them. And commission. Commission. Ephesians chapter 4. Paul talks there about the gifts that God has given to the church. In 4:11 it says this, he's given some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ, for their establishment and encouragement in the faith. Why? Till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in Christ, we may grow up in all things into him, into the head. So what he's saying there is, works of service in the church, in the ministry of the word of God, and the encouragement with one another is to build our faith, is to ground us in the faith, so that when false doctrine comes or persecution comes, we're not blown off the Christian pathway. We're not blown off course. But we understand the faith. We understand God's will. How important it is then that we read God's word and that we come and we listen to God's word and we bring God's word to our children and we bring God's word to each other to encourage each other in the faith. The promises of God, the character of God. Hear what the Lord has done for me. So Paul gave Timothy this commission. It's a commission for all of us to encourage and to build one another up in the faith. Commission. And finally, circumstances. So what can I do? We're all different, aren't we? We're all different. Some of us have different family situations, different marital situations, different age situations. What can we do? What can we do to encourage one another? Well, I've got a few examples. It's not exhaustive, just some suggestions. There'll be some things that you might have that aren't on here. Things that are more appropriate to your life. What can we do? Well, we can prayerfully identify and spend time with a younger believer. There's somebody younger than you in the faith. I guarantee there's somebody younger than you in the faith. There's somebody that you've met, or somebody in the church, or somebody that you may have come into contact with, maybe somebody at another church, and you have them on your heart. And you have a desire for them. And you see their lives. And you see that they need some support and help. That they need some encouragement. That they need building up in their faith. I remember going on a beach mission years ago, and Werner Wright challenged us all on his beach mission to say, do you have a spiritual baby under your wing? Is anybody you've got under your wing? Who are you helping to bring on in the faith? Anybody? Or is there a vacancy? Is anybody there in that care and that love? Anybody that we're encouraging? Anybody that in particular? You can't encourage everybody. Is there somebody that we're prayerfully identifying with? Somebody that's we've got in our hearts and in our minds. We're going to encourage this person. There's a saying, isn't there, that more is caught than taught. How important example is in spending time with Christians who need encouragement. Perhaps somebody younger in the faith. As a church like ours, we've got, you know, lots of young children right up, haven't we? And the youth ministry of the church. We pray over the youth ministry of the church. Engage with the young people as well. Secondly, strive to help a struggling believer. Strive to help a struggling believer. Well, you might say, well, I don't know who's struggling. Well, how do we know if somebody's struggling? Well, we need to get to know people more, don't we? Sometimes a church holiday, this isn't a shameless plug for the church holiday here, but sometimes church holiday is a great idea, a way of finding out more about people and where they're at and what they're doing, what they're thinking. You come away informed about people's prayer needs and desires in the open fellowship times that we have. Strive to help a struggling believer. You may be a believer at work. Maybe a believer in your family. Somebody who's really low at the moment. Somebody who's really struggling. Your heart goes out to them. Maybe somebody's confessed to you that they're caught in a particular sin. And there's the opportunity to buddy up with them, to pray with them, to get alongside them. Strive to help the struggling believer. Thirdly, visiting the sick or elderly believer. Well, we know, we pray for David, don't we? We pray for David and the family. And we'll do that, and obviously we take a lead from the family in terms of when it's the right time to visit, it all in good time, and we need wisdom to know to do that so we don't overwhelm. But prayer. And those in the fellowship who are older, or older Christians that you know outside of this fellowship who will benefit from a visit, from taking our children to see them. So often we come away blessed when we go to bless. Those of us with children, do we share the word of God with our children? Do we have family worship at home? Do we pray with them? Do we read the word of God to them? Do we seek to encourage them in spiritual things? Do we encourage them to pray in the family? Do we encourage them to read the Word of God? I don't believe we keep children at arm's length from spiritual things until they're older. I think we engage them when they're young. It's what Paul said, wasn't it? Bring your children in the fear and nurture of the Lord. Build up their faith. Speak with them about why you believe the Bible is the Bible. Words that build up in spiritual things. And reading the Word of God with them. Maybe having one-to-ones with your children. Establishing it while they're young, so it becomes natural when they're older. Keeping that relationship going. Encouraging, establishing faith. Well, the people who've encouraged me in my life, lots of people encouraged me in my life. I'm only going to mention people who aren't here today. I can think of Dennis Wright, Dennis was a huge encourager to me. He was an elder here in the church. He was a retired Baptist minister, came to Derby in 1993, something like that, not long after being converted, and took me under his wing as a new believer. Was an inspiration to me in his faith, his devotion to Christ, his love for the Word of God. I mean, he's in his 60s, I was in my 20s. It doesn't matter. Great comfort to me in difficult times. Dick Smith, Richard Smith, used to be here, gone to glory now. Dennis went to glory. Richard was a tremendous encourager in my preaching. And in anything that I would seek to do. Alan Barter, an American. The Barter family were here years ago. I used to meet up with him at lunchtimes at work. He would encourage me in spiritual things. Directed me to some Christian resources that I still read today. We have the opportunity to have a lasting, eternal impact on one another and on the younger people in the faith. How to encourage one another? We'd be people of character, growth, walking with the Lord. We need to recognize that this is something he wants us all to do. It's a commission from him. And ask God to help you look at your circumstances and identify. See what we can do. What can I do? What can you do to be an encourager of others in the faith? For their blessing. For our blessing. For his glory. May God help us in these things. Amen. Let's pray. Well, Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, and we pray now that you would write these things in our hearts. Give us wisdom, Lord, that we might know how we might encourage each other more. We pray that you might build us up in our faith, you build up our understanding, you would enlarge our hearts, you would enlarge our lives for you. Oh Lord, we pray that you would help us to see what you would have us to do. Speak to us, we pray, from your word. For we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.